You're recording. Can you hear us, Brian?
Yes, sir.
Good.
Maybe it'll fall. Let me switch out.
Tracy, I got 5 o'clock.
Okay. I'd like to call this meeting to order. It's the Prairie Brownwater Conservation District. This is our July meeting being held in our offices here in Springtown as well as online. You can join us online via the link and everything is on our website. Director Watts, would you call roll, please, sir?
Shannon's on vacation.
Okay. Jerry Reynolds?
Here.
Tim Watts?
Here.
Tracy Messer? Here. Richard English?
Here.
Mike Berkeley?
Here.
Don Micah?
Here.
Brent Wilson?
Brent said he wasn't going to be able to make it. He might zoom in if he had a chance.
Okay. We do have a quorum. Do we have anybody sign up for public comment this evening in general?
Sir. Hello.
Welcome. Come on in and sit down. Obviously, we'll have an opportunity on the agenda items for public to comment as well. You have something, Terry? In general, or are you speaking of agenda item?
On the agenda item.
Okay, that'd be fine. First item on the agenda is public hearing. Receive any public comments, requests to contest, and the general manager's reports and recommendations regarding the filing applications for permits, permit amendments, and or request for exceptions to the district's water well spacing or minimum crack size requirements. Applicant owner Preston Real Estate LLC of Tomball, operating permit and exception of minimum space well spacing requirements. Location of well is 2250 North Preston Highway in Preston. Requested permit volume is 11,530,000 gallons per year. Doug?
Yes, sir. Again, it's Preston Real Estate. Just a real quick reminder, we are seeking both operating permit and an exception to spacing. I'm going to give us more details about each of those. This is a reminder for operating permits. District rules say the board shall grant the lesser of the reasonable non-speculative amount of annual groundwater demand or the applicable annual production allowable per continuous controlled acreage. And I'll get through that in some detail here in a little bit. So this is right in the northeast corner of Hood County, just northwest of Crescent, where you cross the Parker County line. The project is a lumber treatment facility. They approached us, I don't know, a little while back, telling us they're going to need to drill a well and get an operating permit. They're asking for, as Tracy said, a little over 11.5 million gallons. I've got some more details on that. But they also failed to meet the property line spacing and well-to-well spacing. So they're seeking an exception. So the new well, and it's worth noting there will be two wells included in the operating permit. One of them is an existing well on the property, a shallow Paluxy well. They're seeking to drill a deeper well to the bottom of the Twin Mountains or the Trinity. That's well 15354. They're asking for 79 gallons a minute, which requires 1,750 feet spacing from other wells. There's one operational non-exempt well across Highway 171 from this location. It's less than 1,750 feet away. There are two operational commercial wells, both shallow Paluxy wells, basically on the same property, but those wells meet the vertical offset. And there's one commercial property owned by Martin McDonald that's less than 500 feet from the property line. This map kind of shows that. The larger circle is 1,750 feet. You can see the well 1145 operated by Souder Management across the highway to the northeast. And then the triangle-shaped property, there's two other wells there. There's a little cutout. The blue dot to the left is owned by the adjacent landowner. The blue dot to the right is the existing well on the property that will be included in the operating permit. So it says it's one well that doesn't meet spacing from, and then one property line that's just under 500 feet away. So district rules outline allocation for operating permits. Basically say you take the average aquifer thickness of the property, multiply it by 500, multiply it by the acreage. So the average aquifer thickness, as you can see on the little map there, is 754 feet, multiplied by 500, multiplied by 30.579 acres, comes out to 11,258,285. There's an extra number in there. Didn't delete that. It's 285 gallons, I believe, per year. They're asking 11,530. It's supposed to be 11,582,835. So that 2 is in the wrong spot. The engineer rounded up just a hair on their request. All the modeling and impact analysis was done based on their request. Their request is based on upwards of 100,000 gallons per day on a peak day, and they added in a little bit of fudge factor. But it is worth noting they might need more water than this, and are going to have to go through the process of identifying other potential sources, contacting adjacent landowners to see if there's potential to lease groundwater rights. If not, then they'll probably seek a compliance order for additional water. But that will be a later time. So as you all know, we do two types of impact analysis. We do one that basically looks at a local impact analysis. It's basically just a well impact study. We included the existing wells in the area and then also simulated both a shallow Paluxy well and a deeper Twin Mountains well at 8 different locations, northeast, south, and west, 875 feet away and 1,750 feet away. What the impact showed was, you know, in the pumping well, obviously you're going to see more drawdown in the pumping well. It said expect about 30 feet over time, over the 10 years. For the deeper well, the existing solder well, and then the simulated wells, anywhere between 8 to 10 foot of drawdown was modeled over the 10-year period. For any of the Paluxy wells, even the wells that are on the property, looking at like a 1 foot, and the simulated wells, it was all, you know, less than a foot, basically a third of a foot. So very, very minimal impact to shallow wells in the area and potentially 8 to 10 feet of impact to deeper wells, although there's likely a couple hundred feet of water available in those holes, in those deeper wells. We did a larger regional analysis using the groundwater availability model. What we do is we run 3 scenarios. The baseline scenario is the pumping used for desired future conditions, DFCs. The 2019 estimate, which is still the most recent estimate here. We hadn't updated 2020 yet. The 2019 estimate is pumping in 2019. And then the pumping to analyze the impact is 2019 pumping plus this project. You can see that this project added 35 acre feet of pumping to the down dip of the Twin Mountains in Hood County. And if you look on the table on the bottom right, that is the drawdown, the regional drawdown. As you can see, the far left are DFCs and the outcrop and down dip. The middle columns are the 2019 estimate. And the red numbers in red, this project would have a modeled additional 1 foot of drawdown in the down dip of the Twin Mountains in Hood County, and an additional 1 foot of drawdown in the down dip of the Twin Mountains in Parker County, both of which are still far below what the DFC is for those two aquifer county splits. Adjacent landowner on the other side of 171 and owner and operator of the existing non-exempt well had submitted some questions. They had expressed some concerns about potential environmental impact of the project, largely due to the chemicals used in the treatment of the lumber, what they were going to do with those chemicals, if there was going to be any wastewater runoff, And are there any other permits that were required? Did they require to get a TCEQ permit or et cetera? We had sent these questions over to the applicant. We have not received a response yet, but I did want to put these up here at this time for the board. I forwarded this email to y'all earlier, but I wanted to put these questions up here for the board to see. I believe Terry's here. He represents Souder and the adjacent landowner. He's got anything to add, Terry Seaton?
Do we have the applicant or their engineer online by any chance?
So the applicant's engineer is actually one of our board members, Jared.
He's
very quiet.
Yeah.
And obviously, we've talked to Brian. It's not a high enough level that he has to file disclosure, but he does plan on abstaining from any vote. But it's a smaller project for him. But he's basically had submitted the application and was just running through us. And I don't know that he's.
Can I answer questions?
You can't answer questions because it didn't amount to the 10% of your income for the year, this project. So.
Can we answer some of these questions from South?
If we don't, I have not heard anything from the applicant. I don't know if you've heard anything back on these,
no,
Jared.
These have been sent to the applicant. They sent them to their attorney, and I have not got a response back.
And I realize if I read correctly, some of these questions were posed today.
No, we sent them
late last week.
Yeah, late last week.
Okay.
I think Kerry sent me these Thursday, and then I forwarded them over to Jared. I sent them over to you guys this morning for y'all's review.
It seems like these questions are more aimed towards TCEQ than our field of purview. Am I reading this incorrectly?
Correct. Yes, I would assume so.
Yeah, Kerry, you identify yourself for the record, please, sir.
Kerry Graham with Souder National. The reason I asked the questions were basically the premise was from part of the mission statement to protect the big charge zone of the aquifer. This is a valid effort to try to thwart this operation at all, but if you were, I don't know if Doug can blow it back up on the screen or not. There is a significant drainage pattern off of this location that runs underneath 171 and runs into a large freshwater tank that I inspected about 15 years ago. And our concern is for the groundwater and surface water contamination. And all we're asking, the question that I've asked, is if the applicant will answer those. If they've done everything they need to do, that's all we're asking. But our concern was not knowing how secondary containment of chemicals, I know some of this is going to be a pressure-treated project versus a bath, but what's the protection to the surface of the ground from this chemical operation? That's basically our support.
And those have been sent to Byron, and they're answering, and I just haven't got anything back from them.
That's all we're. I'm not objecting to the to the volume application or anything like that. It's just got a pretty substantial horse operation on that side of the road, cattle operation, and the chemicals that I don't know what specific treatments they're going to use. I know there's several.
It's copper.
Copper. Yeah, most of them are copper. One element, almost all of them is copper.
Yeah, it's copper, but I'm not a wood treatment expert.
It's all you guys. So that's just our concern, just to be sure that being in operation outside of the purview of larger city limits and some controls and permits, et cetera, is everything being taken care of?
They are getting the questions for your answer to your questions.
And so, Tracy, one of the questions I had for Brian is that since they're seeking an exception, can we require proof or require them to submit something showing they have attained or they do not necessarily need to attain any TCEQ permits as part of the exception approval, should we decide to do that?
Yeah,
Ryan, could you speak to that?
Yeah, we, Doug and I, visited about this. The district just doesn't have jurisdiction over the issues that were raised related to the discharge. As far as this application that's pending before the board is concerned, the question is just whether it complies with our rules. And we're not able to, I mean, the TCEQ exists for a reason because they've got that job. And as we, as I explained to Doug, you know, if the district thinks that this operation won't meet TCEQ's rules, the district could very well be one of the protestants in the TCEQ application. But if the district board thinks that for purposes of the water well application, if it meets our requirements, then we'd have to issue it. We just, that's just not part of our jurisdiction.
Board have any questions with anybody? Jared or Perry or Doug or Brian? What's the time crunch on this? Are we facing a time crunch on your end? You know of? Brian, do you recommend us taking action tonight or table?
I don't know of anything that could happen, anything that could come up that's that's been raised that's relevant to your discussion. I mean, the legislature ties your hands pretty well on what you can consider in approving or disapproving an application. And these issues that have been raised about the waste stream are just not something that you can consider. So I don't know that delaying it to get any further information on that is relevant. But going back to my previous statement, I mean, the district is well aware that we have applicants that have filed applications for example, oil and gas waste injection wells that the district has protested. Those same applicants, many of them have water wells that are approved by the district. And so it's, you know, we're not giving a blanket stamp of approval to every operation of the district if you take action to approve these applications. Again, I have no doubt Doug and his team will continue to monitor this and make sure that the TCEQ approvals related to this ensure protection of groundwater quality. But I don't think it's relevant to this determination.
Okay. Board, have any questions? Jerry, anything else? Jerry, anything else?
I will be abstaining.
Okay. And for anybody who's online, our district rules require 5 affirmative votes to pass anything. We do have 6 here today. Brent is, and neither Brent nor Shannon are online, correct?
Neither one, no, sir.
Okay. So. And you've already read your recommendation?
Yes, sir. Mark, the operating permit was pretty easy. 11, and this is, I have the correct number here, 11,528,283 is what is allowed under what the district rules lay out. That's my recommendation. They've provided evidence that it's non-speculative, so That seems pretty easy. The exception is the one that they're, you know, they're asking something outside the rules, as we've seen people do before. You know, and Mr. Graham's here. That's the only well in the area that I think would be impacted by the exception. Again, it showed, I think, 8 to 9 feet of impact to that well. I'm not concerned with any shallow wells, even though there aren't any, if anybody were drilling shallow wells in the area, household wells, I think there'd be very, very little to no impact to shallow domestic wells. But potentially, you know, a little bit of impact to the wells completed to the bottom of the aquifer in the area. But If y'all wanted to approve the exception, I would definitely. And I had that number one for the stipulation laid out there, but I don't know. It's from what Brian's saying, that doesn't seem like that's something we can require. But if we did approve the exception, I would recommend number two and three be included, which are typical. You know, they provide us with a geophysical log, gamma log, induction log, something that they've done of the borehole, and then enter into an agreement as to become a monitoring well for the district.
Board for general manager's recommendation. It's the board's pleasure.
I'll make a motion that we go ahead and approve the permit application based upon recommendations from the DEN.
Got a motion by Director English and a second by Director Berkeley to approve the recommendations to general manager, which is approve the operating permit and the exceptions so listed with the two provisions. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay.
One abstention. Motion carries. I'm going to adjourn the public hearing at 5:21. Regular board meeting consent agenda, which includes approval of minutes of the regular board meeting of June 21st, approval of bank statement ending June 30th, and current financial reports for the district. Payment of bills and invoices received through July 19th, 2021, and reimbursement expenses occurred on behalf of the district through July 19th, 2021. Do we need to pull anything for discussion? If not, I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Director Micah. Do I hear a second?
Okay.
Second by Director Reynolds. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Nothing was pulled, so item two is moved. Item number three, presentation and discussion regarding the annual financial report for the year ending December 31, 2020, and take necessary action. Doug?
Yes, sir. So I've got Kim with our auditor's office here. Hi, Kim. Can you hear us okay?
Yes.
All right. Awesome. Kim's here to give a presentation on our annual audit, our annual financial report. Kim, would you like me to put the PDF up so that they can look at it as you're going through it?
Yeah, that would be great. And I'll try to give page numbers as I'm going through so we can kind of stay together. First thing I want to do is thank you to the board for allowing us to perform your audit again this year. As always, Ann and Doug, forever helpful, excellent at staying on top of our requests, providing them to us in a timely manner. Anything I ask for, Ann has within 24 hours, if not sooner, which gives us faith that the files stay organized, which is always helpful for an audit as well. So I don't see Ann there. Is she there?
Yeah, she's over here.
Okay. So thank you, Ann, for your help in getting it done. Really appreciate it. So I'm going to go through, and I'm going to start with the opinion that's on page one, the exact right place. This is actually what we consider the only deliverable to the board. Everything else is just a compilation of information from management. So there at the very top of page two, opinion, we do give an unqualified opinion, which is the highest level of assurance that we are able to give. So it means there were no material unadjusted misstatements that were found. The next section, starting on page three, I'm just going to mention is the management's discussion and analysis. This section is actually prepared by management as kind of to go through any significant changes during the year or upcoming in a future year. I also want to highlight here, this is the only place in governmental financials where you will see comparative information, because governmental financials are traditionally prepared on the current financial resources method, so focusing more on what's happening right now versus the comparison to the past. So if you want any analysis to the previous year, this is the place to look, and that goes through page eight. It's kind of the management discussion section. The next section is the meat of financial statements, the basic financial statements, so the actual numbers themselves. Those begin on page 10, but I'm only going to briefly mention page 10 and 11. These are what we call the government-wide financial statements and are actually more similar to what you'll see in a for-profit world. They are required to be presented by governmental auditing standards that are a little bit different than how most governments are used to looking at their data on an ongoing basis. So I'm merely going to mention they're here and highlight some of the primary differences, which you'll see there right in the middle of this page, your capital assets. Those are not reported at your fund level on an ongoing basis. And then also anything related to your retirement. So those deferred outflows, and then there's another section there, deferred inflows under the liabilities. Yeah, so both of those sections are things that are you'll only see in this first set of financials because they don't really have to do with your annual budget or anything like that. So you wouldn't want to see them in your monthly financial reporting because they're more just top-level things that are required by government standards to be reported at the end of the year. So then flipping it on to page 12, these are going to be what we refer to as your fund-level statements, and are more similar to what you're used to seeing in your monthly financial reporting, your internal reporting. So here you can see your total assets there around $4.3 million, primarily consisting of your cash and your CDs. Total liabilities of around $115,000 for a total fund balance of approximately $4.2 million, of which about $2 million is unassigned. The rest of that we'll discuss in a later footnote of the different categories of fund balance. So the next page is actually reconciliation, and I'm kind of going to discuss this page 13 and 15 kind of in the same breath, only to say if you want to know the difference between those two sets of financials, the government-wide and the fund-level financials, here's a little reconciliation of the differences. It's those two things that I highlighted before, which is your capital assets and then your pension-related items. And then your next page is going to be the fund level income statement here for total program revenue of around $1.8 million, with the biggest change being an increase in your new will registration fees and the newly established permit application fees for total revenues of around $1.8 million, total expenditures of around $1.3 million for an increase in your fund balance this year of around $500,000. That next page, again, a reconciliation between the two. It's going to be the changes in your capital assets and those pension-related items that you see in here. I won't go over those in detail unless someone has questions about them, and then I'm happy to. So the next section are the notes to your financial statements, which go into more detail about all the information and the numbers that are presented in those financial statements we just went over. I'm just going to highlight a few of the important ones. The first one right there, footnote 2, the Summary of Significant Accounting Policies. This just goes into detail about the accounting policies that are used by the district in order to derive those numbers. So it's a big, long note that goes into detail about several different items that you're going to see there, your pensions, your capital assets, your cash and equivalents, and just discusses the policies related to those. The next one that I'm going to talk about is on the bottom of page 20. Your deposits and investments with financial institutions. Only to highlight, I know one of the things the district focuses on every year is making sure that they are fully collateralized. And this year there was only just that teeny tiny $2,162 that was not collateralized. I know it's difficult with those CDs as the interest accumulates to make sure they're spread out appropriately. But just that small amount, having that not collateralized at the end of the year, I'm required to disclose it to you, but obviously not a big deal there. The next one I was going to talk about is on page 22, changes in capital assets. This is a required disclosure also for governmental entities. The main thing I want to highlight there, which is a positive thing, is the increase in your, it's called furniture and equipment, but this is more of the equipment line, is $150,000 of that increase is related to your monitoring wells. So that's a very exciting increase in your capital assets there to have those monitoring wells included this year. On the next page, page 23, footnote 8. related to your fund balance classifications. So this goes into more detail about what those assigned and committed amounts were. When I said we'll talk more about it later. So this breaks down kind of the purpose for which they are committed and assigned. The one thing you will not see here that you do see when you pass your resolution for committing and assigning fund balance is that amount for the operating reserve. As we've talked about in the past, the accounting guidelines have different standard for considering an operating reserve to be committed. It has to be very detailed. So for internal reporting purposes, I know y'all consider that committed. For external reporting purposes, we're required to omit that and consider it unassigned. So you won't, that's the only difference between this footnote you see here and the resolution you passed each November for the fund balance classification. Flipping to the next page, starting with footnote 9, this starts here on page 24 and actually goes through the end of page 28. I won't go into detail about many things here. These are all the actuarial assumptions and background and discount rates and all that are used to calculate all your pension balances. So if anyone is a real numbers nerd, this is a very fun footnote. Otherwise, you may want to just scroll through it quickly. But it does go into detail about the sensitivity of all the assumptions that they use and how easily that number can change depending on, you know, how the market does compare to what they expect, how different estimates and expectations do against the actuals. So that's kind of what this footnote is for, is to disclose all of that to the users. On page 30, is your budget to actual. And for your program revenues, you actually had a favorable variance of around $280,000, again, related to those new well registrations. In your expenditures, you had a favorable variance of around $390,000 for a total favorable variance on your budget of around $675,000. And then the last three pages here are all, again, pension-related. It's historical statistical data showing the trends over time of your pension liability and the amount of contributions that are made each year, and ending with some more footnotes related to those schedules. So, again, I won't go over those in detail unless anyone has a question on them. Are there any questions over the financial statements or any of the information presented or the audit process?
Board, do we have any questions for our auditor? And Kim, if I read that correctly, our retirement fund is fully funded, is it not?
That is correct. It is fully funded. Yes, you actually have a net pension asset of around $37,000 at the end of the year. And I know TCDRS will adjust your rate each year as that amount goes up, because obviously you also don't want to be in a heavy asset position. So they will adjust that rate each year. And I believe, Doug, correct me if I'm wrong, but the rate for the next fiscal year did go down in comparison to the previous year, the actuarially determined rate.
No questions from the board? Staff? Do we need to accept? We do need to pass a motion to accept this, do we not?
Yes. And then once y'all approve this, then we'll include it in our annual report. Yes.
It is rare to see a government entity that's got fully funded retirement. And it can go south in a hurry. I've watched it happen to others that were in good shape, and then the market goes wonkers and it goes the other way. So.
Yeah, included in that this year is a very good investment return year. So a lot of that's unrealized right now. So it is very true. It's a very finicky number.
Did she have any recommendations of what we should do with any money?
Do you have any recommendations on what we need to do with any of the money? Do we need to increase some of our assigned and committed funds?
No, I think everything is in a good position right now. The only thing is if you ever do want those the operating reserve to be committed for external reporting purposes, that's something that we could work with you on wording for doing that, only if you find it necessary to do so, though, because for internal purposes, I know it is still y'all consider that money earmarked, which is, I think, the important part of it there. But no, everything else looks good.
Anything else from the board? Chair would entertain a motion to accept our annual financial report. Motion by Director Berkley. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second, Director Micah. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Kim.
Yeah, thanks, Kim.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay. Item number four, board consideration and possible approval of quarterly investment report with recommendations. Doug?
Yes, sir. No recommendations. We just bought a couple more CDs. Probably need to think about that again towards the end of the year. But right now, no changes. But this is the quarterly, so got it on there as a line item for y'all to approve. Can answer any questions? Everything seems to be doing pretty well.
What did you put the term?
On the CDs, what do I think we bought? One was a 1 year and one was two or three.
Yeah.
We got decent, I mean, compared to what the market's doing right now, we got decent rates.
And did you interact with our district?
No, they were both at banks. We basically got CDs with most of the banks in our district. One of them was in Bridgeport. What was that, the Bank of Six? Yeah, one of them was a branch that had over in Irving, but one of them was there in Bridgeport. I think that was one of the last banks in the district that would respond to us. Not everybody wants to take government money.
Any other questions? I entertain a motion to approve the quarterly investment report. Motion of Director Watts. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Director Reynolds. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Take action to elect district officers to serve a two-year term ending in July 2021.
That should be 2023, my bad.
Yeah. I could have had the world's shortest term.
You could have.
Or somebody could have. Appoint members to serve as assistant secretaries and appoint members to serve on existing committees or create new committees and make any other appointments as necessary. What's the board's pleasure?
Your officers want to continue.
If that's what you wish, I'll go.
I'll stay working that.
Yeah.
Richard? I'm fine. I'll make a motion. Any more? 2 more years, please.
Give me a second.
I'll second that.
Second, Jared. Any further discussion and nominations?
We need to give him a railroad.
Choo-choo. I think I about right now. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We typically elect all the other directors as assistant secretaries, so they're available to sign checks if necessary. Just keeps the staff from having to run in one end of the district to the other to find somebody. So I'd entertain a motion to do that. Motion by Director Watts. Do I hear a second?
Same.
Second, Director English. We get our paybacks here. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. The list of committee assignments from last time is on your agenda. I'm going to hold on that and let you guys contact me this month. If you want to change anything, move around or whatever.
And Tracy, I think you can make.
I can do that.
And I think what we did last year is you asked the same thing, and at the next meeting you just announced.
Yeah. So.
Your that committees.
Do that. Take a look at it. It's on your agenda. See if you want to move around or do something else. If you want to dump the chairmanship, let me know.
And I would add, because Shannon's not here, Shannon is the only one that only has one committee assignment. Last year, he did ask
if he could be on the budget and finance. So
okay.
just a thought.
So if somebody wants to bail off of that, we can stick Shannon on. Since he's not here.
Well, you were stuttering and he had his finger up.
Tracy, just give me a holler and if you talk to anybody else, and I'll hear from anybody.
So everybody's contacting me in the next week or so. Thank you for staff, and we'll get that set up. Thank you very much. Discussion possible action to adopt resolution 21-002 designating persons authorized to disperse funds by check, draft order, or other instrument on behalf of the district. And this is the resolution that states the president, vice president, secretary,
general manager, and all of
this. And the assistant secretary for the manager of the board. So I entertain a motion to approve that resolution.
So moved.
Motion by Director Watts. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Second by Director Reynolds. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item number 7, discussion regarding the following request for extension to drill approved water wells and take action as necessary. Well ID 14464 for Jenna Brown in Hood County. Doug?
Just like any other ones. Right now, most of the drillers are so backed up. I mean, some of them have dozens and dozens of approved applications. So all the rain we got this spring, a lot of them have had some mechanical issues, but we're getting, like I said, this is the only time. I can't remember the last meeting. We only had one extension request on there. Tracy, one of the things that you and I have talked about.
Let's take care of this, and then we'll talk about it.
Okay. So, yeah, my recommendation is just approval of this extension.
Chair, entertain a motion to approve the extension. Motion by Director Watts. Do I hear a second?
I'll say.
Second by Director Reynolds. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Doug
brought up something and then a suggestion to help expedite our meetings. I don't know the extension we haven't approved in a long time. We have put one or two on notice. And I think extension number 4 or number 5 was it. Unless the board has any objections, I'm going to suggest that Doug include these on our consent agendas. So we can pull it if we need to, or if the staff needs to, just roll it through there.
We go with the general manager recommendation.
Almost
ever, anyway.
Yeah, and that's getting a minute on something else.
Yeah.
But just to help expedite meetings, because going into these permanent rules, we're probably going to have some meetings that are going to get bogged down on some stuff. Just helps us move out.
So that's to include exempt, not exempt?
Yeah.
While we do this, I don't mind putting on a consent agenda if it's cut and dry.
Yeah.
But if there's any question, even if it's minute, that we do it this other way, that will save you.
All right.
Because why didn't you tell us about this minute thing?
Yeah.
So if it's just cut and dry, I'll go along.
Okay.
Next month we'll start doing that. Very well. Item number 8, discussion regarding the following potential violations of district rules and take necessary action. A, Doug Kinsey of Alpha Omega Waterwell, well drilled without approval and in violation of district spacing rules on County Road 3390 near Paradise, Texas in Wise County. Doug?
Yeah, this is the one we tried to talk about these two last month, and because of technical issues, not everybody could understand, could hear us here at the office. This one came up. A landowner had called and had some issues with some sand in a well and said their driller just drilled a new well and it still had sand in it. I wasn't on the phone, so I don't know the whole conversation, but it came to light that the new well they were talking about had not been, an application had not been submitted. And so we did some looking around, and there was an application, a well that was drilled, I think it was in well ID 8855, so that had been 2017, that time frame. The well was drilled, so the driller had gone out and drilled a replacement well. When we contacted him, let him know, and Mr. Kinsey had said, you know, that was in a warranty well, and he wasn't aware that, you know, he needed to submit an application and pay the registration fee and so on and so forth. I have followed up with Mr. Kinsey, and, you know, he said,
largely his son had been taking care of most of this stuff for the last several years. His son was aware of that. They'd been submitting applications. His son just wasn't around, and Mr. Kinsey had authorized this, and he wasn't aware of it. And he admitted it was a screw-up on his part. So after visiting with him, getting some going, emailing back and forth, and again, this is the email from last year, or from last month. I've talked to him since then. I think that I feel pretty confident that this isn't something that has happened multiple times throughout the district. It was probably an oversight on their part. So on this one, I would recommend this would be Mr. Kinsey's second violation. He had one back in 2017. So I would recommend a second violation and a settlement offer of $500, which is in line with our second violation, and payment along with the $500, submittal of a new well registration or the well registration for the new well, submittal of the $600 registration fee along with the $100 deposit, which shall be forfeited, and to require the plugging of the old existing well that was replaced because it's still open, at least when staff was out there. And had they submitted this as a replacement well, it would have had to have been plugged really by this week. So I would require, and I'll get that written down, my recommendation on a couple slides. So that's what I would recommend on that. Tracy, you want to go through both of them, or you want to do a motion?
Let's do one at a time.
Okay.
I have one question. I didn't go back and review, so I may be at fault. I thought last month you recommended the second and third violations.
I did. I came back off that because ultimately they're going to plug that well. I talked with I emailed back and forth with them. I feel better about that this isn't something that happened multiple times throughout the district. Technically, because there's two open holes sitting there, it could be a violation because it is too close to another well. It wasn't submitted, obviously, as a replacement well. However, if they plug that well, then
it becomes a violation.
Exactly. So that's why it's the middle one here underneath the first GM recommendation. That's a motion to include Mr. Kinsey has committed a second major violation. And in lieu of litigation, a settlement of $500 penalty fee, submittal of well registration for new well along with the $600 registration fee, $100 well report and deposit, which shall be forfeited, and requirement to plug the existing well ID 8855, by July 31st, 2021.
Question for you and maybe for Brian. What happens if he hasn't plugged it by the end of the month?
So that would be, we could find that another violation had occurred there. Because technically the way our rules are written, they've got 90 days. Under a replacement well, they got 90 days, and it's basically a violation of our rules if they don't plug it within 90 days. So it's already been, the new well has already been operational for 90 days. It's sometime this week, I think 90 days. So technically it could be another violation if they don't plug it by July 31st.
And Tracy, these are conditions that the board's establishing frankly, in lieu of pursuing litigation. So if he doesn't comply with them, the original violations will be back before you and you can take any action you wanted.
Okay. Do we have any other questions on this one? For the general manager's recommendations, Mr. Board's pleasure.
I recommend the general manager's recommendation as presented.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Second by Director English. Do I hear any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. And item B, discussion regarding potential violation of district rules. Brian Walden of Walden Drilling, multiple wells drilled in violation of district spacing rules throughout the district. Doug?
Yes, sir. So we discussed this one briefly last month, too. Again, technical issues, so those that weren't here couldn't understand. We originally went out there. There were somebody called, so there were some open holes. We found Mr. Walden had gone back and completed those. But what we did find when we flow tested some initially that were completed, they were over the 17.36. They were upwards around 20 gallons a minute. Went back out there again, flow tested some more. six in total. All of them were flow testing somewhere between 18.5 and 21 gallons a minute. After talking to Tracy last month, Tracy said if we had time to go check some more of Mr. Walden's wells, I believe Blaine got to four of them, all four of which tested somewhere between 18.5 and 19-20 gallons a minute. Mr. Walden's fairly new to drilling in the district, so this would be his first violation, but we did flow test 10 wells, and all 10 of them were over the approved 17.36 gallons a minute. And I know this happens, but usually when we're going to go flow test wells, they're usually between 14, 15, but thought it was worth bringing it to the board's attention because it's every one we flow tested was above that 17.36. And I know there's some questions configuration. This is open flow. This is at the wellhead. This is the way, you know, my understanding of how this operates. But happy to answer any questions. And I did make a recommendation. I think we could go steeper if we wanted. But, you know, I think at least the first violation with at least the $250 penalty, which we give for a first violation. If the board wanted to do anything or requirement to go back and correct each one.
Move to the item.
How many wells did he
do? You've got Mr. McKenzie up here.
No, it's the second one.
Oh, the second.
It's the bottom. They're not on the same page, Tracy. Thank you. And Jenny, are you online? Jennifer?
Yes.
Did you look how many, Tracy had asked me earlier, how many wells has Ryan in the district?
Hold on, I can...
49. I mean, Mr. Holmes here. 49.
Okay.
Board have any other questions for staff right now? Mr. Walden, you want to say anything?
Yes, sir. I'm law enough 100 fall drilling and new to the district. I've been drilling for 2001 study. We drill all the way from Denton to Kerrville. In the field country. I deal with probably 15 to 20 different water districts, probably 30 to 50 municipalities, CCQ, PLR, several water wells from several districts. And everybody has just a slightly slanted version of, you know, of the basic rule. I'm not going to sit here and say I didn't know the 70.36 rule, but I know that. And clearly, it is a violation. But the principle, like Burnett County, is you feel they understand that we've been having quite a domestic well, and then built a well that's rated over 16 gallons a minute ever. It's just the horsepower, a little bit of difference in the horsepower, has pushed it over 70.36. And they use it. Sometimes they may go over 18, 19, and 20. Well, for instance, Denton County will flow test you, and they allow it to 20. But they understand that you put a half a horse difference in a hole, and it gets at 13, drought hits 11. Kids wake up in the morning, they're taking showers, and the trigger comes on, and now they're wrapping the trench to turn the well in because you didn't give enough water. It's going to pump 13. Boy, it's almost like a big gigantic catch-22, and I'm going to have a song here. All 49 wells, we're going to visit every 49 wells. Any issues of any of them, and really a lot of staff. It's very hard to keep up all the lawyeries between the whole state of Texas, but and clearly just kept pumping over 70 gallons a minute, and it's all nothing more than a catch-22 between a horsepower. I
want to
say I'm sorry. I'm sorry
I waited your time. And I appreciate you telling us that you're going to check the other ones because that was going to be a question.
Yeah.
Our rules were designed to meet our geological conditions. It's an outcrop and much smaller quantity of water under our land as compared to Denton County. For example, I believe the top producing well in the district pumps 170 gallons a minute. The top producing well in eastern Denton County produces 10 times that amount because they have a bunch of water. So that's why we set that, because that way domestic wells, a 2-acre minimum, 2 acres provide enough water to provide them water, and they can replenish and have water forever. So that's why we try to keep it at that.
I think it's why they all kind of vary the slides. It's why, like I said,
the geology is different in every county and every part of the county.
For instance, in Vernon County, we put on form for the horsepower and the GPM pump so that they can look at it on paper with the depth and say, well, you know, there's no, I don't even know anybody that's by us doing any glitches. I mean, there's only everything to gain on one more gallon a minute of it.
Yeah. But, you know, do check the other wells.
Yes, sir.
And get them in compliance, please. So, does the board have any other questions? Any questions, Mr. Walden? Brian, and we have Doug's recommendation.
Again, like I said, I feel, you know, at this time, it's not like, you know, he's done anything else egregiously. I feel, you know, slap on the wrist, if you call it that, at least say, hey, this is the way we do things here. I know it's different, but this is the way we do things here.
And we have to do it that way to protect our constituents.
And, you know, I get most of the other districts, most of the drillers are just going to come around to it and get it. And like I said, that's why most of them we see end up 14, 15 gallons a minute.
Yeah, I want to say something about the last violation that I want to ask a question about. Because, you know, in the driller's sense, he's trying to make the pole right or plugged up, saying he's 10 feet away. His customer going to pay him $700 and drill another hole. And he's trying to correct the problem, and he's going to plug the hole and drill the next hole. In a spread of frame of mind, what's wrong with correcting the well?
He didn't file an application for replacement.
Yes.
He just drilled a well without anything. That's what happened. That's correct, Doug?
Yeah, that's correct.
I mean, we didn't know it was supposed to most of the customer came in.
He didn't do anything. No, he was an application. They just drilled a hole.
We didn't know the hole was in the ground.
That's what the violation was. They just drilled a hole in the ground. Never submitted it. I mean, any
operation. Did he submit the state report?
I don't even think they did that.
Oh.
And Tim will tell you, if he did that, I'd stand over here and slap him a little bit.
Would be kind of like drilling, trying to make the hole right, phone call, hey, there's a problem.
And that's what most of the drillers do here. If they run into an issue, they've learned over the last 12 years, they call the district and say, here, I got a situation. And staff will go out and work with them. And
usually if it's an emergency and somebody's out of water, we try to get through it pretty quick, too.
Yeah.
So, and I'm new, and I'm just going to say that, hey, you phone call me, make it please. I don't know, it's hard to interpret all of them. You know?
Okay. Staff's taking Mr. Walden, heard the general manager's recommendation. What's the board's pleasure?
Can I make a comment?
Certainly,
Mr. Walden, I'll take you for your word. I mean, my personal experience is you go into a new venue, you better find out what you lose. That's new to hearing. The policy we're talking about is minuscule in the whole scheme of things. A penalty. You had alluded to the fact that you would go back and check your other 40-some-odd wells. To me, that's a big enough penalty. You know, God propose that we defer this until he verifies in whatever appropriate procedure that he's checked the other wells, he's brought them in compliance. That's going to cost him a lot of time and money. He does that, and I'd say wait for $250 penalty.
Thank you.
Well, they haven't agreed to it yet.
Yeah. Do you want staff to confirm?
Well, suddenly staff is now put out.
Well, I understand.
And so there's a happy mix.
I know.
I mean, the man, I assume he's going to be drilling here in the future. You know, he gives us a bunch of bull on this go around. We're going to.
Yeah.
So does I think if he represents that he's checked well number 29 through whatever, and he's done A, B, and C to each well, whatever, that representation I would be comfortable with if the board wants to, or if the district wants to arbitrarily check one or two. Okay.
I can provide documentation.
But that's between you and the general manager.
We're going to make this y'all's decision, huh?
That's just a comment.
Do we need to table it then and let them work through this?
No, I think we ought to say, here's the parameters, here are the what we expect. And if you do it, then when this comes back up, we will waive the penalty and we'll say you're good.
Do we want to still find the first major violation? At least get that far. Not the penalty, but just the first violation.
That's probably violation. Yes.
Okay.
We just said waive the first violation?
No, no, waive the penalty, waive not the first violation. That's what I was asking.
Still get the violation on record.
Yeah.
So basically,
his fine is to fix everything else at his expense.
And so I'm not.
Which is going to be more than the $250.
Yeah, I want to state this so that Ann can get it and write it on the
meeting.
Basically, a motion on that Mr. Walden has committed a first violation, and the settlement would be no penalty fee, but a requirement to alter those that were flow tested back under 17 and to check the other ones and to.
Bring them into compliance as well.
Bring them into compliance or to provide documentation or something to the district verifying that. Does that make sense, Mike?
No, that's good. I have one more question.
Fill
well
now.
Okay.
Yeah, we can talk about it. There's things we can
do.
That's my other question. What's an agreeable time frame to check all 49?
No, that's very well, Grover. I think I could have done 30 days.
30 days, 60 days?
60 days, you won't come with 49 wells.
Let's just say before our September meeting.
Before our September meeting, which will be roughly 60 days.
Yeah.
Ann, have you made sense out of us?
Good girl. Put it on the agenda in 60 days.
Well, I'll make notes.
I'll just report.
Yeah.
Okay.
I also have a clarification question.
Sure.
How are these wells flow tested? Like when they're flow tested, is the well just turned on?
Yeah.
Is it allowed to run for a certain amount of time?
Generally, let them run a little while.
10 minutes?
Yeah.
Are they tested under pressure or they're tested under pressure? It makes a little bit of difference.
It's open flow, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's open flow.
Under pressure, I could probably increase the slightly less.
Yeah, correct. It's open flow. Open flow and he lets them run 10 minutes.
All those in compliance.
At least let it draw down some so we're not just getting, you know, in it.
A motion from Director Berkeley. It's stated by Doug for Ann. Do I hear a second?
I'm tired of second.
I'll look down the other
one. I'll second it. You're
second, didn't
I think that's six is me.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. And while we're taking care of this here, this was another item I was going to ask the board. Generally on violations, we've taken the general manager's recommendation almost 100% of the time. Do you want to put that also under consent agenda? We can pull it out if we want to leave these case by case.
This one here was an exception, a rule. This one here was, we could have been worse, been better. We could have given him 46 violations.
Actually, only 10. We have tested 10,
yes,
yeah.
So, and Tracy, to kind of what Tracy and I talked about, like I said, 9.9 times out of 10, y'all just straight up take my recommendation. So the way I'd see it working is I'd still write up my memo and my recommendation. We'd include it on the consent agenda. If it was approved on the consent agenda, you're basically approving, you know, a settlement offer, which I'd go out and make that settlement offer. If they don't accept the settlement offer, then we'd schedule a hearing anyway. We're just trying to think of ways that can kind of speed up some of these meetings. If there was something that I thought that warranted discussion, I would set it out as a separate agenda item anyway. But also, you're going to have my memos, so if you have take the opportunity to read through them, and if something jumps out that you guys think we need to discuss, we can always pull it out. So we have that item below the consent agenda to allow for us to pull something from the consent agenda. Just a thought, Ms. Tracy.
Don't necessarily have to do anything about that tonight, but just take that into consideration. Item number 9, management report.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Have a good time.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Just a few things under my report. We talked about possibly or just having a discussion about potentially changing meeting dates and times. I put this in my memo. You're probably tired of seeing this or hearing this, but we are the only district of the 16 in North and Central Texas that do meet after business hours. For staff, it's nice to have them here and answer questions, but they are giving them time and a half comp time, so it's additional time off that they get, for being here. And also, like I said, I just said some thoughts. Some of the board had kind of mixed feelings. I know Jared and I talked about it, and Tracy, and we talked about it during the personnel meeting the other day, too. But I just wanted to bring that up. And then also, two potential budget items for the 2022 budget is Tracy had asked, and Shannon had also brought this up about chip seal driveway. In our driveway done, because the drainage on it, we've got a pile of gravel and we try to patch it, but if you noticed, everything drains towards that stock tank except the gravel, and it drains right down the gravel road. And every time we get a big rain, it causes some ruts. I got some estimates. It was anywhere from $30,000 to $60,000 to do a chip seal on the driveway and parking lot. So if it's something the board wants to do, we would need to budget for it next year. Personally, me, I drive a truck, a big truck. I don't care. Like, the gravel drive doesn't bother me, but it has been brought up to you by multiple people, so I wanted to put that out there.
Can I ask a question about this?
Yes, sir.
I've been driving around this county, these counties, and during these last few weeks, they've been picking up all this old, they've been chipping, taking all this stuff to the highway. And there's a big old pile over in Wise County. Mm-hmm. And can we get some of that stuff for nothing?
I've asked, in Wise County, they weren't too fond of giving it to us because we're out of county. Parker County didn't really have much to say about it either. You asked me this like 2 years ago. I didn't just presume about it. I actually made phone calls and basically found out that probably not.
There is some people that think there's enough oil in that asphalt, and if we're, does it fulfill our image to have the oil remnants flow from that skip into your eye tank there? Personally, it's going to kill some hardhead catfish, maybe.
My personal opinion, I have no problem with the way it is, but I drive a big truck and I'm used to bumps, but that's just me.
And as far as reference, Mike has said, TxDOT refers to those as tailings. It's ground up asphalt when they resurface a roadway. And you will find out that the county commissioners and your city government fight over those because they cannot get it. So they get in line first.
Yeah,
and rarely is there anything.
They were not interested in making any of that available to us.
So I'm not surprised he struck out, but it doesn't hurt to ask. Generally, my county commissioners likes us enough to do it. That is a budget.
How much would it cost the concrete?
I didn't get that quote.
Probably 1.5 times.
At least.
Well, they've been recently, from what I've been hearing, running pretty close. But I'd say 1.5 times. Let's be safe.
Do we have a tractor?
We do.
Yep.
Yep. 40. And I've got a pile of gravel out there.
We would have, it's like a box play. They call it a roadmaster.
Mm-hmm.
Down and back, and you cure your problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good little engine. Runs about $1,500 for the implement.
We've got a box blade, and you can get.
No, it's a box blade that's it's got
teeth on it.
Yeah, and it's got 2 or 3 bars that fix it up and disperse it. Roadblocks, yes, roadblocks. It is. They work great.
Okay.
I can give you. I fight that battle.
Yeah. And it's just the layout. Like I said, it just
comes. And I can. We don't need to go through it now, but I can tell you possibly some teeth cures.
Okay. Because, yeah, we've got a pile of gravel out there, and we'll put it in there and use a box blade to smooth it out, and it'll work until we get the next big rain.
Well, let's try that.
And then also the other item is audio for the boardroom. I have temporarily solved our audio issues. I'm guessing those folks on the other end can hear us. I hadn't heard any complaints. But if we wanted to upgrade, that would also be something I'd recommend. Either we need to move money around in this budget or we put it in next year's budget. The governor's declaration suspending some of that Open Meetings Act, allowing us to meet via Zoom, expires at the end of August. So September, we're going to have to be all here anyway. But personally, I think it's a good idea for us to continue to stream these meetings because I think it gives the public an opportunity to attend and not actually have to drive here because, you know, some people in our district live, you know, an hour and a half away. So just a thought, because the problem is we're going in, we're still using the same mixer that the board's always had and the district's always had. So we're running into an analog mixer and then trying to bring that into a digital platform, and it just doesn't. That's why it works sometimes. It doesn't work others. Right now, I've literally, y'all can't see it, I've got a PA speaker sitting under this desk and pillows wrapped around it and a digital mic sitting in front of it. That's why it seems to be working this time. It's working, but it's not a permanent solution.
We got a good financial report, didn't we, today?
Uh-huh.
Which means we're not starving.
No.
I'd be best to forget about putting it in next year's budget and put it in this year's budget.
I'm happy to do that. I think I got some initial quotes. The proper, just the mixer is about $4,500. But then we'd need, probably we can make these mics work, but we might want to update the mics as well. Get better ones that you can, you know, push on and off. That way you're not getting feedback. But I wanted to bring that up as well. So, just some thoughts.
Everyone want to give consensus of direction with general manager proceed on upgrading our audio system.
Well, I would make that recommendation that we get some additional bids to get it upgraded during this physical year.
If y'all want, so my discretionary spending amount is $5,000 for items like this. If I can get something that would work, and I'll visit with the folks that do our IT. They do a lot of sound stuff as on the side as well. If I can get something all in for under $5,000, does y'all want me to move forward with it? If it's over $5,000, I'll bring it to the board.
About to ask Brian, but I would think if it goes over $5,000, you need to come back to the board approval on that.
If it's over $5,000 for the total upgrade, I'll bring it back if y'all want. If it's under $5,000, I'll move forward with it if you're all right with it.
That work?
Okay with me. You do back it as a recommend as a.
No, he can proceed under his discretion on that because we don't have it as an agenda, whether it's a general discussion. Brian?
Yes, sir.
Doug's comment about streaming and everything, do we need to take board action on that, or can we just keep on streaming our meetings? To set it up as board policy, do we need to do that?
I don't think so.
Okay. I'm just asking in case we need to put it on next month's agenda. That's what I'm inquiring about. I think anything we do that helps keep informed the public helps us involved. Anything else on yours, Doug?
No, not unless you guys have any questions or comments, by the way.
Only that we're going to drill a whole lot of water wells this year.
It's insane.
It has not slowed down. What's it been like this month?
What's it been? What are we at, Jenny? You're muted, Jenny.
Okay. Yeah. What did I say this one? We're like at?
I think you said 114, 113.
Yeah, and I've entered about 10.
So we're around somewhere between 115 and 120.
Yeah.
What in the month?
We're barely halfway through the month.
We're right.
Close to 200 again. So,
we're going to continue to keep drilling. And I assume it is keeping staff very busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all on item 9.
All right. That's it.
Item number 10, review line item expenditures and adopt budget amendments. I don't believe we had anything for us this month.
Just mute. Item number 11, General Counsel's report. Brian?
I don't have much. I think Doug was going to forward you our final legal analysis of after the governor's veto ended of all the bills we were tracking for the district. Nothing's really happening down here anymore, and there's nothing in the special session that really impacts the district. We worked, hadn't done actually a whole lot of work for the district since last month. We worked on the RFQ that we discussed last month, and we've gotten a draft back to Doug that we're working on, but things are pretty slow.
Very well. Our next meeting is set for August 18th, 5 p.m. here. It will be a combination of Zoom and in person. It will be the last one we can do under the governor's release. Anybody have any new business to put on the agenda for next month? If not, let us know. Doug, one thing I didn't ask on yours yet, update on the RFQ. Where are we on that?
Hi, I'm Brian. I'm reviewing it and going to get back, and we'll publish it and mail it out this week.
Anybody have anything else? If not, I show the meeting adjourned at 6:15. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Which one are you looking at?